بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continue ولله الحمد Our readings in Nasihati Linnisa, My Advice to the Women, by Abdullah Al-Wadi'iyya, Hafidhaha Allah Ta'ala. We have come to the chapter of the author she has mentioned, Hafidhaha Allah Ta'ala, Min Afati Al-Lisan, Min Afati Al-Lisan. From the diseases or the calamities or the dangers of the tongue. Min afati al-lisan. Afat jam'u afa. Afatun wa afatun. Afatun is the mufrad form or the singular form. Afatun. And the plural is afat. الآفة هي كل ما يصيب شيئا فيفسده كل ما يصيب شيئا فيفسده يقال له آفة. So in the Arabic language, the word آفة, this is a word that means or refers to everything that would inflict something and corrupt it. That would inflict something and corrupt it. They say, for example, أصابت الزرع آفة. That a disease or a calamity befell the crops, if the crops are destroyed by a plague of insects or the likes, and the crops are affected and corrupted by that, they call this an afa. Also, an afa could mean a plague or disease or calamity or something that is a means of bringing harm, and that's the case. So, in general, the word al-afa is kullu ma yusibu shay'an fa yufsiduhu. Everything that it would, in whatever inflicts something and corrupts it, this is considered an afa. The plural of that is afat. Here the author, she mentions, min afati al-lisan. Min afati al-lisan. From the dangers and the harms, the calamities that can inflict the tongue, she will mention them here. Beginning with the most dangerous and then lesser and lesser and so on and so forth. She says, حَفِيظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللِّسَانَ قَدْ يُرْدِي صَاحِبَهُ وَيَهْوِي بِهِ فِي النَّارِ. Verily the tongue, it could lower an individual and cause him to fall head first into the hellfire. قال الله تعالى أن أهل الجنة لأهل النار. She says Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about what the people of Jannah say to the people of النار. Mentioning the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, ما سلككم في سقر. What has caused you to land in the hellfire? سقر. From the names of the hellfire, السقر. ما سلككم في سقر. The people of paradise, they will mention this and say this to the people of the hellfire. What has landed you in the hellfire? What is the cause for you to enter into the blazing fire? The people of the hellfire, they respond, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَّلِّينَ. They said that we were not from those who established prayer. وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And also we were not from those who fed the poor. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to delve into the false and vain speech with those who delve. And this is the point of reference for the mention of this verse by the author. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we used to belie and deny the day of resurrection or the day of recompense. The day of recompense. حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينَ. Until certainty came to us, meaning al-maut, until they died. She mentions قال الحافظ ابن كثير رحمه الله في قولهم وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين. She mentions that الحافظ Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he mentioned about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal referring to those people in the hellfire, that they said that we used to delve into false and vain speech with those who delve into that speech. The meaning is, Ibn Kathir, he says, Rahimahullah, نَتَكَلَّمُ فِي مَا لَا نَعْلَمُ, meaning that we speak about that which we do not know. وَقَالَ قَتَادَ, and he mentioned that Qatada, he said, Rahimahullah, كُلُّ مَا غَوَى غَاوٍ غَوَيْنَا مَعَهُ, that every time a deviant and misguided person delved into speech and the likes, then we delved in along with him. Then we delve into that speech along with him. So this is a clear clarification and a warning for a believer to realize that from the means of falling into the hellfire head first is the statements of the tongue. The statements of the tongue. She says, وَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي, and also in صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي, مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that verily a servant, he will speak with a statement, and he will say words from the pleasure of Allah, and he will not give it any concern, and he will, and Allah azza wa jalla will raise him by that statement ranks and levels, meaning in this life and in the hereafter. Yani in al-abd la yatakallamu bil kalima, a person will speak with a statement, yani min khair. He will speak with a statement of sincerity and truth, and from the statements of goodness, from the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which is pleasing to Allah, and he will not think much about this statement. He will say it to his companion, giving them sincere advice from his heart, and trying to direct them, or mentioning the truth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, but then just mentioning it like this, and not thinking about the result of that, and in reality, because of his sincerity and because of the truth that he had stated in that situation, Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise his rank many levels. And on the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, wa innal abda la yatakallamu bil kalima min sakhatillah la yulqi laha balan yahwi biha fi jahannam wa rawahu muslim bi ma'nah. She says, Hafidhahullah, and likewise Muslim narrated a similar wording. So the hadith continues that verily a servant, an individual, likewise will make a statement, will speak with words that will be from the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will not give it any concern or care or think much about it, just speaking with statements that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, that will earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, statements that are considered lies or statements of backbiting, even if they're true, but they are backbiting, statements of falsehood and statements of the likes, that from all of the different types of statements that are displeasing to Allah, a person who will make these statements and take it lightly, not thinking nothing of it, backbiting their brother or their sister, or lying or spreading tales and the likes like this, not thinking nothing of it, running their mouth. In reality, they will cause them to fall. يَهْوِي بِهَا and بِسَبَبِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ فِي جَهَنَّمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. In one narration, أَبْعَدْ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, any further than the distance of the east and the west. Further than the distance of the east and the west. So we see that as the author, she had began this chapter after mentioning the title, مِنْ آفَاتْ اللِّسَانِ, from the dangers or the ills, the diseases, from the calamities that can befall the tongue, she says, إِنَّ لِسَانَ قَدْ يُرْدِي صَاحِبَهُ وَيَهْوِي بِهِ فِي النَّارِ, that verily the tongue, it could cause a person to fall on their face and descend into the depths of the hellfire, to fall head first on their head, yani in their face. And as we have seen previously from the hadith of Mu'adh, whenever he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّحْنُ مُؤَخَذُونَ بِي مَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ, are we really going to be held accountable for what we say and speak? And from our speech, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَاتِهِمْ, And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, is there anything more that will cause the people to fall on their faces or to fall on their noses into the hellfire than the harvest of their tongues? So the reality is that the situation of the tongue is very dangerous. We see in this verse here the conversation that occurs between the people of Jannah and the people of the fire. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. And what has caused you to enter the hellfire? What did you do? What were the actions that necessitated for you to deserve to be from those people who enter into the blazing fire? This is the meaning. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What happened? What are the actions that you performed? What are the deeds that you did? What are the words that you said? And the likes like this that caused you to deserve to fall into the saqar, the blazing fire. They responded, we didn't pray. We were not from those who established prayer. Meaning they did not perform the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَمْ نَكُنْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And likewise, we did not feed the poor. So likewise, not only did they not perform the right of Allah, but they did not perform the right of the creation likewise. They did not perform the right of the creation likewise. They did not establish the ikhlas and the ibadah for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor did they establish the obligatory ihsan ila khalqihi wa naf' al-ibad, and the goodness that is required for them to do for the creation. So they neglected both rights, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal and the right of His creation. And then on top of that, wa kunna nakhudu ma'al kha'idin. And we used to delve into vain and false speech with those who delve into that false speech and debating with falsehood and arguing with falsehood and speaking about things that are impermissible and the likes, and speaking in a manner that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this here, these actions here, they lead one to belie and disbelieve in the day of deen. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to belie and deny the day of recompense. And this is the case, those people who leave off the prayer and those people who do not have concern for feeding those in need or taking care of those in need or fulfilling the rights of those under their care and the likes like this, and they delve into false and vain speech and they have no reins or limits with their tongue, then this is a means to lead them to belie and to deny the day of resurrection and the day of judgment. Because the one who believes in the day of judgment and the establishment of the hour and standing before Allah Azza wa Jal and to receive the recompense for their actions and statements, this is from the greatest of the affairs that will stop a person and prohibit a person from delving into vain and false speech. And from the most strongest of the affairs, this belief in the heart of a believer to cause them to stand and wash their hands and feet and make ablution and pray and establish the salat in the proper time, because they believe and they know that they will be held accountable for their deeds and their actions. But those who fall short in these affairs, then these are means that lead to denial and disbelief in the resurrection. Hatta atana al-yaqeen, until certainty came to us. Until certainty came to us, meaning until death came. Until death came and they were upon that way. Iyadhin billah. Iyadhin billah. So some people likewise, with regards to the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, al-muttafaq alayhi, some people, they make statements, don't give them concern. But those people who have conditioned their tongue and they have trained their soul to strive to seek the good and to say that which is pleasing, and they have fought against their soul to refrain from saying that which is displeasing, it becomes a custom for them and easy for them to make statements of khayr and to make statements of goodness and to give good advice here and there in a good manner in the best way, and to repel the harsh and the ignorant and the rude with manners that are kind and with words that are soft and the likes like this. So it's easy for them to make statements of khayr because they have made their souls accustomed to the good until it became from their manners and their conduct and from their sunnah that they follow. So then maybe they will make statements of khayr a lot, and sometimes maybe not giving that a great concern. But in reality, it's from those statements that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. That are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لِيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِ لَهَا بَالَ يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتِ. Allah will raise his rank by way of those statements. By way of those statements. But on the other hand, there are those people who have not trained their soul or have made the effort of mujahada against their own nafs in order to be upright and to stay away from sins and to check their tongue and to say that which is good or be silent, and rather they say whatever they like without thinking. And thus they say many words, and some of them they are words that earn the anger of Allah, and they have become accustomed to this, and they speak lightly and loosely without giving concern. And they could make one of these statements could be one of those reasons and causes for them to fall head first into the hellfire. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in wa inna al-abda la yatakallamu bil kalima min sakhatillah la yulqi laha bala yahwi biha fi jahannam yahwi biha fi jahannam ay yanzil biha fi jahannam. This is from the verb hawa yahwi bimana yanzilu. But that's what they call al-hawa. Maman al-hawa. Al-hawa wal jamal ahwa. Al-ahwa'u. Al-hawa wal ahwa. Desires. Al-hawa. Naam? Al-hawa, it means desires and whims. Desires. Al-hawa, aksu al-huda. Al-huda, guidance. And then there's hawa. But the ulama, like Ash-Shabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in 109 or 104. I think the ulama, they differed about his death date here. But he said, سُمِّيَ الْهَوَى هَوَى لِيَنُّهُ يَهْوِي بِصَاحِبِهِ فِي النَّارِ. They call the word hawa, desires. Hawa, because it yahwi, because it leads and it drags the person into the hellfire. It drags the person into the hellfire. That's as the Prophet ﷺ, he said here, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَعْدًا يَهْوِي. It will cause him to fall down into the hellfire. بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ. So this affair of the tongue is a serious affair. Is a serious affair. The author, she says, وَدُونَكِ بَعْضَ أَفَاتِ اللِّسَانِ. And here, now, she will mention some of the diseases and calamities or the dangers of the tongue, the things that corrupt the tongue. Beginning with a very beneficial tartib and arrangement, beginning with that which is most severe. She says, number one, النطق بالشرك والكفر. النطق بالشرك والكفر. من يعني بل أعظم آفات اللسان النطق بالشرك والكفر. The greatest disease and calamity that can befall the tongue is to pronounce a statement of shirk and polytheism, يَذِن بِاللَّهِ. Or to pronounce a statement of disbelief, to pronounce a statement of shirk and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, or to make a statement with the tongue, to pronounce with one's tongue a statement of disbelief. Ayyadhan billah. She says here, first I'll just mention the difference. What's the difference between shirk and kufr? Don't answer. Think about it. She says here, annutku bi shirki wal kufr. Shirk's kufr, sah? But is kullu kufr shirk? No, shirk and kufr is different. And there's a difference between somebody can make kufr and not make shirk. Yani like, and it could be a kufr like this, without associating partners. And she'll mention the examples we see. An-nutqu bi-shirki wa-kufri. For example, the first one, an-nutqu bi-shirk ka-du'a'i ghayrillah. To supplicate and to call on and to invoke other than Allah. To supplicate and to call on and to invoke and to seek aid and assistance. And other than Allah, فيما لا يقدر عليه غير الله, and something that only Allah He has the ability to do, like those people who have been tried by worshiping the graves, and they claim that they worship that they seek al-istighatha and relief and istiana and help and aid from the awliya and from the people in the grave, and you will find them calling on them, and they will find them calling on them. They say, Ya madad al-fulan, al madad al-rizq. Provide for also Madid, also yani an nusra would aid at ta'eed, oh, help me, aid me, and Madid, provide for me and aid me. They call on the people of the grave and they say, Abdul Qadir, Jaylan al-Madid, or Fulan al-Madid, like this. And they call on him seeking his aid and help other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he's dead himself. Or even if they're alive, some of them, even from the Sufiya, they call on their mashaykh, and their mashaykh call them to call on them. Their mashaykh call them to call on them. If you're in distress or if you're in need in your travels, call on me. I would help you and I will save you. Like this. This is what they claim. But this calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jal and supplicating to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, this is shirkun bi bilisan. Yushrik Allah Azza wa Jal bihada. He associates a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal, pronouncing a statement of shirk with the tongue. Also, it is a pronouncing, he is announcing shirk also, and he with the heart at the same time. But here with the tongue, the tongue is the one making the action. Likewise, here, and this is the point. And then also she says, وَالْحَلِفُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Also, and to take an oath by other than Allah. To swear by other than Allah. This is shirk. This is shirk. This could be shirk akbar or shirk asgar, according to the reality in the heart of the individual. Because whenever a person he makes halif or yahlifu بِشَيْءٍ هَذَا لِأَظَمَةِ هَذَا شَيْءٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ, because of the greatness of that thing in his heart. So somebody will swear or make an oath in order to emphasize their statement. So if that thing that they are swearing by is greater than Allah in their heart, and that's why they're swearing by it, and to emphasize the greatness and to certify their statement, emphasize that what they are saying is correct, they swear by something. And if this thing that they swear by in their heart and other than Allah is greater in their heart than Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is major shirk. But if they swear by other than Allah Azza wa Jal and it's lesser than that, then this is called minor shirk. Naam, like in the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in Jahiliyyah before the time of the coming of the Prophet, they used to swear by their fathers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen this and he told his companions, whenever he seen one of them swearing by their fathers, he said, "Man kana hadifan falyahlif billah aw liyasmut." That whoever wants to swear or take an oath, then let him swear by Allah or be quiet. And another narration, this narration is by Ibn Umar, and this is in Sahih Bukhari wa Muslim. There's another narration in Sunan Abi Dawood wa Jami' Tirmidhi, also by Ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man halafa bi ghayri lahi faqad kafara aw ashraka." That whoever has taken an oath by other than Allah, then he has disbelieved or associated partners. In any case, to swear by other than Allah is not permissible. And it could be major shirk. But originally, it's minor shirk, so long as that person didn't magnify and glorify that thing he's swearing by over the magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart. In his heart. وَالْحَلِفُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَالْحَلِفُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ الْحَلِفُ is only for the sake of Allah. You swear by Allah. You swear by Allah. So but somebody wants to emphasize their statement, and they want to bring something and swear by something to show how correct or sincere they are, they swear by Allah. Wallahi. Say wallahi, or tallahi, or billahi. Naam, in this manner. وَالْحَلِفُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَالنَّذَرُ also لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Also to make an oath, but to other than Allah. She says, فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ شِرْكِيَاتٌ فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ شِرْكِيَاتٌ يَجِبُ حِفْظُ لِسَانِ عَنْهَا. So these affairs here, they are affairs of shirk. And it's obligatory to protect the tongue from them. وَالنُّطْقُ بِالشِّرْكِ أَعْظَمُ أَفَاتِ اللِّسَانِ. And to pronounce a statement of shirk is the greatest diseases of the tongue. The greatest of the diseases of the tongue. And the tongue, as she mentions, it has many diseases. The greatest of them is shirk. After that is kufr. We see after that she mentions bid'ah. After that ghibah. And then likes, as she mentions lying, kevib. Also is from the diseases of the tongue. But we have to understand that some things are greater than others. There are some good deeds that are more virtuous and pleasing to Allah than others, and they're both good deeds. There are some bad deeds. Likewise, they're both evil and wicked deeds. Some of them are greater and more severe with Allah Azza wa Jalla than others, and they're both bad deeds. Here we have a statement by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to understand the importance of having this fiqh, of knowing the difference between the two goods and the two evils, and which one is greater good and which one is a greater evil. And this is a beautiful understanding that has been mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said, "Laysa al-faqih man arafa al-khayra min ash-shar." Al-faqih is not the one who knows the good from the evil. "Lakin al-faqih man arafa al-khayra min al-khayrain wa ash-shar min ash-sharrain." That the true faqih and the true person of fiqh and understanding in the religion is the one who knows the two good, the best of the two goods and the worst of the two evils. So here, this understanding, we see also, of course, the companions have the most right to that. And here we have this example and the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه. And he said, لأن أحرف بالله كاذبا أحب إلي من أن أحرف بغير الله صادقا. الله أكبر. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said, رضي الله عنه, that I swear by Allah while I'm lying is more beloved to me than I swear by other than Allah while I'm truthful. To lie, to swear by Allah and lie is more beloved to me than to swear by other than Allah upon the truth. Ishrah. Ishrah lana. What's that mean? Why? Hey, because to swear by Allah and to lie, this is a major sin. To swear by Allah and to lie, this is a major sin. But does a person leave Islam with that? Is it considered shirk? To swear by Allah and lying, no, this is a major sin. But to swear by other than Allah, this is considered shirk. Could be akbar or asgar. To swear by other than Allah, even if he told the truth, then this is greater. This is greater. This is the greater of the two evils. So this is not saying that a person would want to swear by other than Allah, or to lie by swearing, to swear by Allah and to lie. La, that's not the point. But the point is to swear by other than Allah is greater, even greater than that. To show the severity of al-harif bighayrillah, al-harif bighayrillah, that this is a major sin, from the major sins. This is actually, it is shirk. Ash-shirku billahi azza wa jal. Ash-shirku billahi azza wa jal. Ash-shirku bil-lisan. Yani an-nutku bi-shirk, yadhan billah. And we have that today in these lands, and they swear by other than Allah. The way they do it, some of them, they say they put that on this or they put that on that. That's called swearing. That's an oath. Or he swears by his sometimes they say on me, like this. That's a swear. Familiar with that? That's some way of the kids. They say that. Or even some of the gang members, they say that's on his set. Or they say on my life. Or they say on my, they used to say on my mama like this. All this is swearing. Swearing by his mother. Swearing by his mother like this. Swearing by his neighborhood gang. Or swearing by his life like this. Or they'll say that's on life. And meaning that swear, he said, I put that, he puts that on this or on that. That means they're taking an oath. And they're swearing by that thing. And this is something known that the person wouldn't believe him. They'll say that. I mean, I'm speaking of the disbelievers. And this is from their way. They swear like this, but other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. They swear like this. They swear by their mothers. They swear by their own self. They swear by whatever they find to be great in their heart. They swear by it. When people do not believe them. When people do not believe them. So a believer will be aware of that. And he will not follow them in that. Rather, if he swears by Allah. He swears by Allah alone and not by anyone or anything else. Not by anyone or anything else. A believer, he can only swear by Allah. Wallahi. Swear by Allah. Somebody needs to emphasize. Even likewise, ash-shay'u bi-shay' yuzkar, one thing we mentioned sometimes leads to another. The benefit also that a believer, he won't always swear by Allah. It's not from the good manners of a believer. All everything, wallahi, 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 I was here, wallahi, I was there, wallahi, you didn't do this, wallahi, he did that, wallahi, I'll see you, wallahi, like this. To always swearing like this, it's not needed. The actual, to make the oath and to swear by Allah is a means of emphasizing the speech. So if somebody said they did something and then somebody had doubt in what they said, then now you say, wallahi, I did it. Or if somebody said, you didn't do this, and he did it, and they said, no, I didn't do it. And then they said, you didn't believe it. No, you did it. No, I didn't know you. Wallahi, I didn't. Now you emphasize the speech. Now it's time for swearing. But not every statement requires for a person to say wallahi. And this is not from the good manners. It's not from the good manners to take that lightly all the time on the tongue. It's easy like this to swear by Allah. Because the one who is accustomed to this, then maybe he will wind up swearing by Allah on something that is not correct or not true. And this is the case. So a person, he won't always be swearing by Allah Azza wa Jalla, but if it is needed to do that for emphasis and the likes like this, and to draw emphasis to the issue, then na'am, it's permissible. And it's from the sunnah. Now we go, she moves now from the issue of shirk to the issue of kufr. وَقَدْ يَنْطِقُ بِالْكُفْرِ وَقَدْ يَنْطِقُ يَنْ يَلْإِنسَانِ بِالْكُفْرِ. And also the tongue could pronounce a statement of disbelief. It could pronounce a statement of disbelief. كَسَبِّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Like cursing Allah and His Messenger. And this may sound very hard to believe for some of us here in America, because we're not accustomed to it around it, but in some Muslim countries it's very common for them to curse Allah. And particularly certain Muslim countries, some of those wicked people there, they're known for that. They're known for that. When they become angry, they curse Allah. And they curse the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something they do. And they take it lightly. And it's common in that society. Ayyadhan billah. Ayyadhan billah. A person wouldn't believe that. To curse Allah azza wa jal, and he gets mad, it didn't go good for him. He cursed Allah. He cursed the Messenger. This is disbelief. This is disbelief. A person, if he did this, he would leave Islam. He would leave Islam. She says, فَإِنَّ هَذَا كُفْرٌ. By cursing Allah and cursing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is disbelief. يقول الله في كتابه الكريم. Allah, He mentioned in His noble book, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتُهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. This verse here, the meaning of which is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, if you ask them, they will say that, oh, we were just delving in vain speech, and we were just playing and joking, and we're not being serious. And it will, and then Allah command them to command the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to them, is it by Allah or about Allah and His verses or His signs and His Messenger that you are mocking? Verily, do not make an excuse about this. Rather, you have disbelieved after your faith. This verse, it has a reason. Sabab al-nuzul. Sabab al-nuzul. Some of the verses, they have a reason for their revelation, or an event occurred, and then because of that event, the verse was revealed. The ulama, they call this here sabab nuzul al-ayah, or asbab al-nuzul. Asbab al-nuzul, the reasons for the revelation. Some verses that were, it's known from the hadith, the reason for the revelation of certain verses. And so this is a terminology that ulama, they have. Sabab or asbab al-nuzul, the reasons for revelation. Also, there are some hadith that have events that occurred that was the cause of the narration. That is the cause of the narration. They call, the ulama, they have a terminology for this. They call asbab wurud al-hadith. Asbab wurud al-hadith. Like the hadith that we have here with regards to halif. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came up to his companions, and Umar was there, and he was swearing by other than Allah. He was swearing by his father. So the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited from swearing by the fathers, by fathers, and he mentioned the hadith. مَنْ كَانَ حَارِفًا فَلْيَحْرِفْ بِاللَّهِ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتُ. Whoever is going to swear, let him be quiet, swear by Allah, be quiet. And the reason for that narration, and the سبب ورود هذا الحديث, is because the Prophet ﷺ, he seen his companions, and he came upon them, one of them is swearing by his father, by his father. So, in any case, we have with regards to the reason why the ayat was revealed, it's called asbab al-nuzul. And the reason why the hadith was narrated, it's called asbab al-wurud. Al-wurud. Warada yaridu. So this is from the terminology of the ulama. From the terminology of the ulama. It's very beneficial to learn this terminology so that one can understand what they mean whenever they speak. And whenever we read their text, and whenever we listen to them in their classes, that they use the terminology. مصطلحات العلم. العلم له مصطلحات وله لغته. Knowledge, it has its language, the language of knowledge. ولغة العلماء. And it's very important and beneficial to learn the language that the ulama, they use whenever they speak. So here the سبب نزول هذه الآية, because the reason for the revelation of this verse here is that there were some hypocrites in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever they're coming from the battle of Tabuk, and they were speaking to each other, and they were mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And from what has been narrated is that one of them was said to the other, مالك الرأينا هؤلاء أرغبنا بطونا وأكذبنا ألسنة وأجبننا عند اللقاء. أعوذ بالله. This is what has been mentioned, that they said they were together and riding and walking, and one of them said to the group of them, what's wrong with liqurra'ina ha'ula? He's speaking about the Prophet and his companions. He said, what's wrong with them? They're the ones, they're all the aragabuhum butunan, like their stomachs, all they want to do is fill their stomachs. Greedy. the greedy and want to, you know, love the dunya, and they have the most lying, the tongues lie the most, and they are the most cowardice in the time of meeting the enemy. This is what was mentioned. This is what was mentioned. And this is from as well. There's other things that have been mentioned likewise. One of the worst statements that has been mentioned in the narrations, what they said, is that Muhammad, he thinks he's going to conquer a room. What's wrong with this guy? Like this. And this is what they were saying to each other, and they're laughing. Some of them, as mentioned, one of them, he was with them, but he didn't fall, he didn't speak with them. These are people that are speaking together, saying these things like this together. And from them, there was one who was amongst them, but he was finding in his heart something that was very difficult. He didn't like what he heard, but he laughed. They said some of these statements, and he would laugh along with them. Naam, he would laugh along with them. So the verse is about this event right here. And this issue reached the Prophet ﷺ that they were saying this. That they were saying this, and that this occurred, and they're laughing and mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So Allah revealed this, and He said, "وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ." And if you ask them, they're going to tell you, "Oh, we were just joking and passing time, delving and joking. We're not being serious. We didn't mean it like this." And then so Allah, He says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to them, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Is it about Allah and His verses and His messenger that you were mocking and joking? He said, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Do not make an excuse today. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have disbelieved after your faith. You have disbelieved after your faith. And then they came to him, and those hypocrites, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were making i'tidhar. They were trying to seek an excuse. Oh, we're just joking, like he said. We're just joking. The only thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, لا تأتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. لا تأتذروا قد, like this, أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون. لا تأتذروا. He would just repeat the verse to them over and over and over. Over and over and over. And this was the case with regards to this. After this verse here, the author, she mentioned, this is verse 65 and 66 of Surah Tawbah. The very next verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions, إِنَّ عَفُوا أَن طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبَ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. If we pardon a group of them, of you from them, then we will punish another group because they were criminals. So this is an indication that some of those people that were along with them, they repented. Some of them came to make excuses, not sincerely. Even whenever they were making excuses, they were hypocrites in that. They were true hypocrites, and they were just trying to save their honor or save their self from blame and the likes like this. But there was one that was from amongst them. His name is Mukhashin. Mukhashin radiyallahu anhu ibn Humayr. And he is mentioned that he felt very bad about this. And that he was from those who did not delve into the speech, and he did not say anything, but he was accompanying them, and whenever they were speaking, he laughed. And then after this occurred, he felt bad, and he repented, radiyallahu anhu, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jal. This come in Ibn Kathir, he said, سأل الله عز وجل أن يقتل شهيدا ولا يعلم مكانه. He asked Allah Azza wa Jal that he could die as a shaheed, and that nobody would know where he was at. And it was mentioned from the narrations of Tabari. He said that no one will say that I washed Mukhashin, or nobody would nobody. He didn't want nobody to wash him, or nobody to shroud him. He wanted to be left alone. And what is apparent is that he was sincere in that, because it has been mentioned, as Ibn Kathir, he said that on the day of Yom al-Yamama, in the battle of Yamama, that he was killed in that battle, and they never found a trace of him, radiallahu anhu. They never found a trace of him, radiallahu anhu. So also from the benefits of this this verse here, we see at the point of the author that a person could disbelieve with their tongue. And from that disbelief is to mimic or to mock or to joke or to belittle the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Quran or the Sunnah. Some people, they mock, for example, his pants, the pants above the ankle, they go, high waters. Look at the brother, he got high waters like this. And they clown, like they say, and they mock and they mimic. This is disbelief. This is a sunnah of the Prophet. So whether there's a wa'id, a shadid in that the person will be in the hell fire for dragging his pants, or mocking the beard, or mocking the hijab, or the proper garment for the Muslimah, how it's covered in all black and her face is covered and the likes like this, to belittle that or to mock that, this is disbelief. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Are you mocking and joking? And then you say, oh, I was just joking. لا. The deen of Allah, there's no joking with the deen of Allah. And this is a very important point and topic that we have to be aware of to raise our children. Because sometimes our children, maybe they're playing, and maybe they'll recite the Quran in a funny voice, or just moving, we will prohibit them from that. We will not allow them to do that. And we were this right here, you don't play with. You want to play with this one or that one, but the deen we do not play with. Dua, we don't recite it in a joking voice, playing and that. Whatever the case it is with regards to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is an obligation and what is incumbent upon a believer with regards to that? Ta'zim. Ta'zim wa ihtiram. To have magnification and to have honor. Wa al-mahabba shadida. And to have severe love for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to not take anything as a joke or anything lightly. If something in the deen is hard or difficult for a person, in the beginning, for example, to perform it, he will not find fault with the deen, he will find fault himself. He will not find fault with the deen, he will find fault with him, with himself. And this person, in this way, a person will be safe. So a person will never, what is obligatory with regards to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from every aspect, the Quran, the Sunnah, the verses of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, his sifat, and the righteous and the pious people likewise, that are known for following the Quran and the Sunnah, the it's not permissible to mock them or to joke about these things. This one is, there's no joking in this. There's no playing in this. Nobody will say, I was only playing. We don't play with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Anything else you play from the affairs of the dunya, tfaddal. But the deen of Allah, there's no joking and there's no playing. Because this is a disbelief to joke and to mock the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to claim that a person like this, if you ask them, what are they? Oh, innama kunna nakhudu wa nal'ab. We're just passing time, delving into affairs, laughing and joking. Not about the deen though. Not about the deen. What is obligated? The foundation of the deen, the asl of the deen, is that it is based upon ta'zim Allah Azza wa Jal. The magnification, the glorification of Allah Azza wa Jal, the veneration of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and everything that Allah loves. And everything that Allah loves. And Allah loves His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also from these verses though, we see from the great benefits here is that this narration of Muhashin radiallahu anhu, Ibn Humayr, has been mentioned that he changed his name to Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, that even if a person were to fall into this, but he repented sincerely, sincere repentance, then Allah will accept his repentance. That Allah will accept his repentance, and even if he is truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will be truthful with him. This person, he made sincere repentance and he asked Allah to die as a shaheed and to die in a manner that no one will ever find him. No one, and this is what has been narrated from his life, that he died in the battle of Yamamah radiallahu anhu, and no one ever seen anything of him after that. After that, so Allah Azza wa Jal, he forgives all sins. He forgives all sins. If somebody can remind me the verse in Surah Buruj, Allah mentioned about the people in Buruj, of the ditch, they burned them. They burned the believers. Not only did they didn't mock them, they burned them. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. That's the point from the verse. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. I'm sure the brothers and sisters are aware of the verse in Surah Buruj. But Allah mentioned those who tried and tested the believing men and women. And meaning, how do they test them? They throw them in the ditch in a fire. And then Allah, He mentioned specifically in this, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. And then they never repented after that. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Then they will have the punishment of the hellfire, and they will have the punishment of the blazing flame, of the blazing fire. But the point is here, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُ, meaning that what is understood from that, if they had repented, they likewise, Allah would accept their repentance. Allah likewise would have accepted their repentance. It has been mentioned even about Al-Wahshi. He stabbed, radiallahu anhu, he stabbed Hamza and killed him. And then he repented and he accepted Islam, and Islam was good, and Allah accepted his Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted his Islam, and he killed his uncle sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the case is here that a benefit from this, likewise, no matter how great the sin is, if a person, he sincerely, he has remorse and regret and nadam, And then he leaves that sin for the sake of Allah, out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he rectifies his affair. No matter how great the sin was, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is forgiving and merciful. He is forgiving and merciful. Naam. So the author mentions now, An-nutqu bil-bid'ah. An-nutqu bil-bid'ah. Also, and this is a very proper arrangement. After pronouncing or making a statement of shirk or disbelief, then what is most severe after that is to make the statement of innovation. To make a statement of innovation. She says, for example, a statement of innovation. كَذِّكْرِ الْجَمَاعِ كَذِّكْرِ الْجَمَاعِ. Like to have a congregation dhikr. To sit, everybody sit together and make dhikr. One person says Allahu Akbar, everybody says Allahu Akbar, somebody person, and they follow along in congregation. كَذِّكْرِ الْجَمَاعِ. Okay, what da'wati ila al-bid'ah, also, and to call others. This is even more severe. That one would himself be involved in bid'ah, and then, and on top of that, he didn't stop with himself, but he called, invited others to innovation. This is very dangerous and filthy. What da'wati ila bid'ah. Likewise, from the examples of pronouncing statements of innovation with the tongue, kalhathi ala al-ihtithari bil mawlid al-nabawi. From the aspects, she says here, Hafidha Allah, of propagating and calling to innovation, like encouraging people to party and celebrate the prophetic birthday, the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a bid'ah in itself, and also it is a da'wah to bid'ah, to call to innovation, to call to innovation. Also like Siyami Rajab, to fast in the month of Rajab, but there's nothing legislated for that. Wal bid'ah. She says, وَالْبِدْعَةُ مُحَرَّمَةٌ وَهِيَ ضَلَالَةٌ. And innovation, it is haram, impermissible, and it is misguidance. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا حَسَنٌ. And there is nothing in the affairs of bid'ah that is considered good. There is no innovation in the religion that is considered good. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا أي فِي الْبِدْعَةِ حَسَنٌ. There's nothing considered hasan in the bid'ah. Why? She says, لِأَنَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَالَ. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said himself, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Beware of the newly invented affairs. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Because every newly invented affair, innovation is an innovation. Every newly invented affair in the religion is an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every innovation, it is misguidance. Then she says, أَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمٌ مِّنْ حَدِيثِ جَابِرِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. That this hadith is narrated by in the book of Muslim by the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And now she comments and she says, وَكُلْ وَكُلَّ. This word كُلَّ. سِيغَةٌ مِّنْ سِيغَةِ الْعُمُومِ. This is from the forms. This word is in the form of the forms that have a general understanding. كُلْ, yani everything. كُلْ. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثًا. Every newly or introduced affair. كُلْ, yani every. This is all-encompassing, indicating عموم, yani generality. بِدْعَ. Everything is bid'ah. So that means none of it is good. If it's all bid'ah, then none of it is good. And then on top of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. And every single innovation is misguidance. And one wording, likewise, وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. So something that is considered misguidance that leads somebody to the hellfire, how can it be considered good? How can it be considered good? She says, وَفِي صَحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. I highly encourage the sisters, particularly, and the brothers listening, to memorize this narration. This narration here is, as she says, في صحيحين متفقون عليه, from the hadith of Aisha. Aisha رضي الله عنها, أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها, that she said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. 12 words at most. Naam, whoever introduces into this affair of ours, then that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. It will be rejected. Memorizing short narrations like this, this is a principle though in the deen. This is a principle in the deen. So that's one case. That not only is this it's a short narration, but it's a principle in the deen. That many of the affairs of the religion return back to this understanding here. turn back to this understanding here. Then on top of that, the wording is very short. So if a person can memorize this wording and understand it and have this foundation with them wherever they go. And they will rely upon this and return many of the affairs and questions that pop up and occur to an individual will be understood by the understanding of this hadith. And then likewise, from these few words, a person can learn vocabulary. Those who are trying to learn the Arabic language. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا. The ulama, they say, فِي أَمْرِنَا أَيْ فِي دِينِنَا. فِي أَمْرِنَا أَيْ فِي دِينِنَا. Whoever introduced into this affair of ours, meaning into our religion. Into our religion. That which is not from it, then it is rejected. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. This is the wording of Bukhari and Muslim. Whoever introduced into this affair of ours, or to our deen. Sometimes you mention to somebody this, you see them committing innovation, for example, like calling people to go for khuruj for 3 days or for 40 days or for like this, some of those groups they do that. Or whatever the case may be. And then you tell them this narration, some of them they think they have the cat and they're swift and bright. You say, no, we didn't introduce this affair, we just found people doing it. So this hadith doesn't apply to me. We didn't introduce this affair. The Prophet said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا. We didn't, مَا حَدَثْنَا شَيْئًا. We didn't introduce this affair. You understand? This is what they might try to respond to you whenever you call them. No, this is not from the Sunnah. Is this from the Sunnah? If it's not from the Sunnah, then it's going to be rejected. They will say, no, we didn't introduce this affair. So this hadith doesn't apply to us. This is a very important point here, that also this same hadith came in Sahih Muslim with another wording. So sometimes, or another principle in the understanding of the text is that we look at all of the text in one issue. And this will bring us clarification. Al-hadith yufassiru ba'duha ba'dhan. Wal-ayat kadhalika. Al-ayat wal-hadith tufassiru ba'duha ba'dhan. That the verses and the hadith, they explain one another. So the more we have with regards to a particular issue, the more clear the details will come. So for example, in the other narration, also by Aisha, another wording, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man amila amalan, laysa alayhi amruna fi khurad. Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affair, then it will be rejected. So now we understand two points here. That whoever introduces it, then likewise it will be rejected. And also whoever works by that introduction, whether he introduced it or not, then also that action will be rejected. So the مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فَأَمَلُهُ مَرْدُودُ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَذَا الْمُحْدَثِ فَأَمَلُهُ مَرْدُودُ. Likewise, so this is the case. So whether they introduced the affair themselves or they found others doing it and they worked by way of that, it's all rejected. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ أي مَرْدُودٌ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ مَرْدُودٌ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ. So to speak and to call to innovation or to make statements of innovation like the innovated adhkar, even some of them they have shirk in them. Some of the adhkar that are innovated because the reality of bid'ah is that there is bid'ah, bid'atun mukaffira and bid'atun mufassiqa, two types of bid'ah. One type of bid'ah is considered disbelief. A type of bid'ah is like making tawaf around the graves. This is a bid'ah. To make tawaf around the graves and to call and the likes like this and veneration of the graves. This is innovation that leads to disbelief. Another type of innovation is major sin like this, but it's not as severe. It's lesser than that. Like for example, to make the congregation du'a, or to call the people to the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, all of it is rejected. All of it is rejected. We have a very famous statement by Imam Malik. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about bid'ah. And this is to clarify the dangers and also the filth of innovation. He said, Rahimahullah, من ابتدأ في الإسلام بدعة يراها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا خان الرسالة. That whoever introduces into Islam an innovation and he thinks that it is good, then in reality he is claiming that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has betrayed the message. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Because Allah, he says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Allah said at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was in Hajjat al-Wada', on Yom Arafah, Yom Jumu'ah, Yom Arafah. This verse was revealed, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. On this day, I have completed your religion for you. So that means that if the religion is complete, it's not possible to add to it or to take away from it. It's complete. Something that is complete, it does not accept addition or does not allow subtraction. It's complete. So Allah, he mentioned about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived maybe 80 days after this, approximately. Around 80 days after this. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is at the end of his life. Today that I have completed for you religion. So then he said, رَضِيَ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ إِمَّا مَالِكَ فَمَا لَمْ يَكُونْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُونَ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. So whatever was not deen on that day, and it would never be deen today. Imam Malik, he died in 179. If that's the case, 150 years or more or so after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it's not deen that day, it's not deen his day, it's not deen that day, what about today in our day? It's definitely not deen. What was the deen? The deen that was the deen on that day, whenever Allah complete al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. So that's the deen that Allah is pleased with. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah mentioned, that's the deen that Allah is pleased with, the one that He completed, the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon. It has been narrated from the Salaf, and I mentioned in closing that they would say the reality of the one who introduces innovation, he's an enemy of Islam. And he is, in reality, he is doing away with the Sunnah. By introducing an innovation, the people are doing away with the Sunnah. And they are removing it and causing it to die off. And the reason for the Sunnah to be lost and to be unknown and to not be applied is because of the introduction of innovations. And some of the Salaf, they used to say, لا يحدث رجل في الإسلام بدعة إلا ترك من السنة ما هو خير منها. That no man will introduce into Islam an innovation except for the likes of that from the Sunnah, or that which is better than that from the Sunnah will be left off. Will be left off. And I give the example for this, like we see the innovation of giving handshakes after Salat. Shaking hands is not an innovation, rather it's good. But to do it in a particular place at a time of worship, every single time, over and over, after every Salat, now become an innovation. To think that that's the place for shaking hands, that's not the place for shaking hands. And then to do that any religiously, بتدين, after every Salat, make taslim, shake hands. No, that's not sunnah. That's not sunnah. So what's the sunnah? To make taslim and say, astaghfirullah, 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 and make the adhkar, and then make the adhkar with your hands. You don't shake other people's hands, you make the adhkar with your own hands. Subhanallah, 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 like this, and then to recite ayat al-kursi, and the adhkar that are well known. This is the sunnah in that place. But those people who go to shaking hands, they left off that sunnah. They left off that sunnah. You don't find them sitting there making the adhkar, and you don't counting with their fingers and sitting. They shake hands, stand up and leave. They shake hands, stand up and leave. So they brought the innovation, and what happened to the sunnah? It's left. It's left, and it's gone in their life, and in some people in their lands, that's their methodology. In some also Muslim countries likewise, they're known for that particular action. And because of that, it's not known, the adhkar after salat. And then what about the benefit of the adhkar after the salat, and how it's a means to protect a person from dangers and harms that he cannot see in this life? The means to be protected from the ayn, and the means to be protected from magic and the other types of harms is to make the adhkar after the salawat regularly. So the point is that whenever innovation is introduced, then it's a replacement for the sunnah, and the sunnah is lost in this manner. So innovation is filthy and disgusting, and a person should not take it lightly. But there's a proper way to teach the ignorant people, and many of the people who are involved in innovations, they are involved in those things because of ignorance. So the ignorant one in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in teaching the ignorant is to teach them gently. To teach them gently with proof and evidence and with kindness. And if they oppose, then there's a different way to teach the opposer. But the one who is unaware, or the one who is upon a misguided way because of ignorance, then we deal with them kindly and we try to direct them and hope good for them. And then if they oppose us and they persist upon opposition, there's another way to deal with those type of people. But that's not the beginning. We close with that. وَحَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.